Welcome to Way Back When with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy.
Hey everybody, it's Lisa and Nancy on our Love Your Parks tour, and today we're sitting at Buckland Station in, well, it's right connected to Fort Churchill. Both of them are part of the state park system in Nevada. We're right down the road from Yerington, which is our home base when we come out this way. So this is all part of Northwest Nevada. And we're back with Kristen Sanderson, who is our guide whenever we come out here to the parks. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the fort at Buckland Station, of course, but the role of the fort's history. It's a crossroads destination in history. You know, also people, right? Even you got to think the Paiute Indians, the crossroads for the Pony Express, which is what our focus is today. Crossroad for being part of the Overland Trail, the Donner Party coming through here. So it's a lot of history. But the fort, when was it built? Just to give everyone a little overview.
Fort Churchill was established in 1860, and more specifically July 1860, following the Pyramid Lake War, which occurred in the spring of 1860.
Okay, and so then Buckland Station, where we're sitting, this was kind of like the entrepreneurial hub of the land.
It was. I tell visitors that Buckland Station and the Buckland family really were the heart of the community that grew up here more than 150 years ago. Samuel himself predated Fort Churchill. He arrived in the area as early as 1858 as a bachelor. He was an Ohio native that came west with the discovery of gold. And among his many accomplishments, he built a toll bridge across the Carson River. It was the only one downstream of Genoa or Mormon Station at the time. He also contracted with the Pony Express. And his home operated as a home station for the Pony Express. And the Pony Express was made up of relay stations, and there were different types of relay stations. About every 10 to 15 miles, you would find stations where the riders would change out mounts or horses. And every 75 or 100 miles, there would be stations where you would change out both riders and mounts. These were called home stations, and Samuel Buckland's home, which was a one-room tent cabin at that time, served as a home station. Wow. So they would change out riders, but change out horses at his facilities.
So he had it here, and then at Fort Churchill. So again, like this is, it's crazy because you think of them going for gold, but you know, I know that this is also part of the Sonora Trail, which leads you right to this being, you know, the Donner Party came through here. You got to think Yosemite's just west of us. And you go up through Emigrant Wilderness, that's part of the Emigrant Trail, and Sonora, the gold mining town of Sonora, which was known as the Queen of the Gold Mines, is right there. So it's kind of neat to kind of tie all that history together, you know? So if you're coming to Yosemite National Park, you got to come out here so you can get part of that history of it too. And also the Stanislaus National Forest is also really cool. And Toyobe, and we've got a lot of forest out here.
We're very fortunate in this part of the country.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It is really beautiful. The Pony Express, so this was kind of short-lived. I know it started in April of 1860, and then here comes the telegraph service and said, that's it. Guys, get off your horses. We're taking over the mail, right? So the guys were going from Missouri, Joplin, Missouri, to Sacramento with the mail.
So the Pony Express ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California. It was a distance of almost 2,000 miles. And that route was made up of about 190 relay stations. And somewhere between 70 and 80 riders were engaged. And they would transport the mail over the course of 10 days.
Wow. And you think about what's going on in the mail system now, how it's changed, right? How the internet has changed things. And now we have Amazon deliveries and the UPS and all that, you know. And is UPS versus FedEx, Nancy? Which is the cuter delivery guy?
UPS, without a doubt.
It's just weird. But anyway, so the Pony Express riders, they were like little jockeys. They were little guys. But the fact is, they weren't just going on, hey, there's a trail. Like, we just took the nature trail with you, and it's like, it's a pretty nice walk along the Carson River. But there was drama going on, right? There were skirmishes all along the trail between Missouri and Sacramento. And one of the most famous riders is Pony Bob Haslam, or they called him Pony Bob, right?
Right. Robert Haslam.
Yeah.
More famously known as Pony Bob. He was one of the riders in this area. He was responsible for the route between Friday's Station at South Shore Lake Tahoe and Buckland Station, where we are today, a distance of about 75 miles. And he made his longest uninterrupted ride in the history of the Pony Express starting on May 10th, 1860, where he traveled a round-trip distance of about 360 miles in less than 40 hours. And that was a result of circumstance.
Wow.
In conditions at that time within this environment. He should have been relieved here at Buckland Station, but his relief rider refused to ride because of the tension at that time between the Northern Paiute Indians and the European American immigrant settlers in this area. And so he picked up that route as well, riding all the way out to Smith Creek Station, turning around after a few hours rest and retracing his steps.
Wow. And he also carried Abraham Lincoln's inaugural dress, right?
He did at some point. That was one of many pieces of mail that he helped to carry.
Wow. So now going on this, you know, this longest ride, people were nervous about doing it because of the skirmishes, right? And one guy that everybody thought was like, I'm the man, I'm going to do it all, he bailed out.
He did, and I don't remember his name at this point, but that was the relief rider that was supposed to relieve Pony Bob Haslam here at Buckland Station.
And so that goes with the mail, like, no matter what, we're going to deliver.
The mail must go through.
Right.
Wow. So
there was a lot of Indian drama, so Indians were a problem, so
in the area,
he was scared.
Plus, it's just a tough environment when you think about the natural conditions in a desert environment, the heat, the extreme heat, the extreme cold, the winds, which we're notorious for in this part of Nevada. We saw some today on the trail. Snakes didn't pose a threat to us, but certainly those are all parts of the environment here that may have been intimidating or off-putting for some people.
So they would stay here as a relief station.
Mm-hmm.
So like one rider would wait for the next rider to come in. He sleeps and eats and everything. But then did they drop the mail over at Fort Churchill?
They did. They made an additional stop in this area at Fort Churchill once it was established. And the building where they stopped was post headquarters or the commander's office. It's the smallest building at the fort, and it's located in the northeast corner of the parade ground, just a short distance from the route of the Pony Express. So you can imagine, when you're visiting Fort Churchill, you can imagine a rider coming in hot and fast, making a slight detour from the route of the Pony Express down to post headquarters, and then returning back to the trail and continuing on his way.
Wow. Now, you'd have some kind of reenactment ride every year?
We don't. Nevada State Parks doesn't, but the National Pony Express Association does. They do a nationwide re-ride event, and I believe that happens in June.
Oh, wow.
Every year, and they re-ride the entire length of the Pony Express Trail.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
And they alternate coasts. So one year they'll start in St. Joseph, the next year they'll start in Sacramento, and then they'll change. And they do an exchange, a rider, a horse and rider, and a mochia exchange just north of Fort Churchill.
Wow. So what's the next place that's closest to here that we need to go to as we go? Because we're going to try and do a lot of the Pony Express as much as we can. I mean, but you know, we're on the road full time, and that's what we do, and eventually we'll get there. But what would you say would be the next place we need to go to?
Well, there's a couple options, just depending on how adventurous you are. West of here, probably the easiest station is in downtown Dayton.
Okay.
And the remaining wall of that station is visible just next to the Union Hotel.
Oh.
But to the east of Buckland Station, you have Hooton Wells. It's 12 miles on an unmaintained dirt road, and Hooton Wells itself sits on private property today, but is visible from a road on BLM land.
Okay. Huh. Well, we'll go play next to the Union Hotel. We'll go to downtown Dayton. We haven't been to Dayton before.
Right.
So we'll go there. And this is still in Nevada, right? So that I don't drive all the way to Ohio?
It is. No. Dayton, Nevada, yes.
Oh, thank you so much. And there is a museum at Fort Churchill as well that has information and really good information on the ruins, the fort, the Pony Express. So that's an accessible place to go when it's time to do so, when things open up a little bit more. But anyway, thanks again for taking us around.
Thank you.
Everyone, you can go to Facebook and find out more for Fort Churchill and Buckland Station. Also, their website is the Nevada State Parks. You'll find more there. And of course, we cover it all on nationalparktraveling.com as well.